You're listening to Overtime on the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us as we recap the Pirates' most recent game while also taking a look at what is ahead. Now let's talk East Carolina basketball.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. We have our overtime, and with me right now is Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
Doing well, Dave. Hope you are. I hope 2020 is also a great start for you.
It is. I actually spent New Year's Day. One of the highlight of my day was watching the Pirates unfortunately lose to Wichita State 75-69. But, hey, the way that game started out, we'll talk about that. We don't, obviously, being a away game, we don't have the post-game audio, but just want to say Joe Dilley's word is still off the coaching staff. I tip my hat. The players have done an outstanding job with staying together, staying focused. They've really bought in, and you could tell it by yesterday's game.
No doubt about it. You talk about what a tough start to conference play, having to go out to Wichita, take on the 24th-ranked Shockers in Coke Arena, a place that they always have 10,500, and they're undefeated there this year, and they've heard a stat yesterday on the telecast, something like 90% of their games is what they've won at Coke Arena over the last decade. So, needless to say, it was an immense challenge, but the Pirates, after a rough start, were certainly up to the test. Fell behind 9-0 there, and like Coach Dooley said in his post-game remarks, we were a little frazzled or awestruck, however you want to put it, in the first couple of minutes. But we quickly settled down and went on a 17-10 run, and we're trailing 19-17 there, a little over 7 minutes into the ball game, and we battled throughout. Any time Wichita State, and there were probably three, maybe four occasions where they pushed the lead to maybe 8 or 9 points, and one time in the second half that we'll talk more in detail about here in a minute, they pushed it out to 11, and you thought, oh, well, that's it. That's probably the final nail, but we got it back. We got it back to a one possession game, and still had a shot.
I was just really pleased with the fact that this team. The reason I love this team is they stick together. And that very point, it was 17:35 left in the first half. Very early in the first half, and you saw it 9-0. And you know as well. I saved this for the podcast on purpose to mention this to you, but I felt like, oh, gosh, here we go again. But this team has found a way to fight back. I love it. Their intensity, they did, you know, start off with not to a great start. That was one of the keys to the game for me, as you remember. I was saying we've got to get off to a great start, and we didn't get off to a great start. The good news is we found a way to recover, and we really made it. I mean, that was a heck of a game all the way to the very end. I mean, just when you thought, that Nelson said that too on ESPNU, that Wichita was going to pull away, East Carolina had an answer. And I don't know the last time, maybe you have to go back to 2013, the last time we played like that as far as the program goes.
Yeah, we certainly haven't had a whole lot to be excited about. And that's one of the things that I was mentioning to you and Kyle off the air yesterday during the ball game. Just so this is, you can count the number of times, I mean, outside of baseball in terms right. of the big three with football and men's basketball, we haven't had a whole lot to get excited about over the last 5 or 6 years. And yesterday was certainly one of those occasions, much like Cincinnati this year in football.
No question about it. You can see the progress. And I thought that was an interesting parallel that you can make. Coach Houston, you know, everybody says, well, it's 4-8. Well, the 4-8, we were talking right before we started this podcast. We could have easily been, and Kyle's mentioned it too, 6-6 easily, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But you see the foundations for the culture being established as far as Coach Houston is concerned. The same thing with Coach Dooley. I'm sure that was very difficult, knowing Joe Dooley a little bit that I do, to have to basically just all those players to tell them bye. You know, I mean, I know that had to be really difficult. I know it's a business, and I know that he's about winning, but you get to know those guys. You care about those guys. And he has literally transformed the team. Yes, we didn't win. We're 6-8 in the year. But you look, we have now, Bubba, a nice little stretch. You mentioned this way back when the schedule was mentioned about the end of the non-conference schedule being a homestand, and here pretty much outside of Wichita State, you have eight out of nine bowl games at home?
Yep, all five in the month of December, and now we have our next three in conference play at home, starting off with USF next Tuesday. We'll take on USF, and then next Saturday we'll have SMU coming to town, and then the following Wednesday, Tulsa will be at Menzies.
So that right there tells you this is a critical – every game's important, but as far as conference play, we've got to – speaking of to get off a great start, conference play, if we can find a way to hold our own during the stretch at home games. Let's get fans out there, folks. Simply pick up the phone right now. Call 1-800-DIAL-ECU, where you can go to ecupirates.com. Get your tickets. You can even walk up and get tickets. Tickets are very inexpensive, $10 to $20, and I'm sure they'll do promotions to get more. Ryan Robinson, again, great job. John Gilbert, great job. They've done an excellent job. Bubba, you know when we were there at the Charlotte game together, I got there late. But in that second half, I really believe that, and Coach Dooley said that, we made a huge difference for the Pirates winning that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When we talked about the announced attendance that game, I want to say it was like 3,500 or 3,600, but there was probably more like 2,500 actually there. But that 2,500 got very loud. So you double that or maybe a little more than double it, and Pirate Nation can certainly make a big difference in terms of the outcome. And you look at it, I mean, this is a club that's continuing to progress and find itself, and the margin for error is pretty small. But when you're at home, a place that we're 5-2 now, you have that crowd that gives you that extra energy and momentum. And it'll certainly make a huge difference in the case of this USF game. A team, yeah, they're 7-7, but the Bulls are very talented. You take a look at them, they've lost a couple of heartbreakers here recently to a ranked Florida State team, and then also a Utah State club that's 13-3. And I know they lost to Utah State in overtime, and then they lost late in the second half to the Seminoles.
And every game throughout the rest of the year is going to be really hard. That's the way you have to face it. I love the fact that Baruti and Tyree Jackson both were asked in the press conference after the Eastern Kentucky game, and they said, hey, we're competitors. And you look right here, well, your next stretch of games, you have a chance to do very well. When you look at the Pirates, they're actually going to, I think, do very well. We were talking about this the other day. The league is so competitive. We could either finish, like they said, which is what, 12th. We could actually go for or 11th. We could actually go from there. We could be 7th or 8th. I mean, I think after you get the top 5 or 6, so second half, if you will, from 6 to 12, from middle of the way, if you will, to the bottom, there's a lot of parity there. And I believe that there's a chance that if we can – it could come down to these games we're talking about right now, Bubba, the difference between being middle of the pack, if you will, or just beyond that to dead left.
Yeah, we got to take care of business at home. So last year, that's something that, we had the Cincinnati win and maybe another one or two, but we got to do a better job of taking care of business at home and then maybe still two or three on the road.
You know, you look at the games coming up. You have USF, and Saturday, folks, is going to be a huge one. SMU, I know they played yesterday, New Year's Day as well, right after our game on ESPNU. But Saturday's game at 2 o'clock, I mean, what else are you doing in Greenville, North Carolina on a Saturday? That's going to be a great game. I feel like SMU is one of the best teams in the league. Here's a chance for Pirate Nation for Tuesday and Saturday for you guys next week to pull things. Maybe you could have a nice little run here going, and then how great would that be for the team to get confidence? And then you have a situation where we're going to be, that might be the, like I was saying, the difference between being, I think we have a good chance. I'm going to go with 8th in the league out of 12 teams. That's what I feel like we'll be.
Yeah, and Dave, did you want to dive a little bit deeper into yesterday's loss to the Shockers?
Yeah, I know that. Let me give a shout out to Jaden Gardner. Wow, 29 points. I think he's really, you know, when Coach Dooley a few games ago was talking about how he's coachable and he wants to get better. Well, you can tell the difference in that with how he started out yesterday. I thought that, let me mention one thing too, and now you're going to do, before we talk about the stats, I want to mention to you, and then we'll talk about stats, I promise. I just realized I forgot to mention, how did you like yesterday how they're really progressing in the taking care of the ball as far as they did a much better job as far as the whole game of that pressure yesterday, where the full court pressure in the past handful of games, they haven't done too well.
Yeah, well, the first half yesterday was still pretty rough. That's what Wichita State, obviously, they've seen the scout reports, they've seen the film, they know how we have a tendency to pick the ball up, you know, 30, 35 feet from the basket out there around midcourt or just beyond. And when that's happening, I mean, you saw it. I know Tremont Robinson, not to pick on him, far too many turnovers out of the point guard position, and I think we had something like 10 turnovers out of the point guard position. Not all of those were Tremont. I think he had six or seven, but picking the ball up, and then Wichita State just anticipating stepping into the passing lanes, and with the guys pivoting and unleashing passes that didn't have a chance. But in the second half, yes, it was a lot better. I think we only had four or five turnovers after halftime, unfortunately, outside of Jaden Gardner, guys like Brandon Suggs and J.J. Miles, who had very good first halves with 9 and 10 points, they were unable to do much after the break.
Yeah, and Greg Marshall, they were talking about this, which is true in the game. He really does a nice job of getting those guys, as far as the level of intensity when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, they really had times there where they were just smothering as a defense as far as the Shockers are concerned with Wichita State. Let's dive now into stats, Bubba. I know you want to talk about that. And let's give the stats for yesterday's game against Wichita.
Yeah, just some points that I want to make. Some are statistical and then others not so much. On the statistical side of things, I was going to mention, you talked about Jaden Gardner having 29 points and 10 rebounds. That was his seventh double-double of the season. And I think it's the sixth game in a row now that he scored at least 22 points. And just, I know Robbie Hummel, who was an excellent post player at Purdue back from 2007 to 2012, he was the color analyst. And I thought he did a heck of a job outside of calling us Eastern Carolina two or three times at least early on. But other than that, I thought he did an excellent job. And he and the play-by-play guy, whose name escapes me, they were very complimentary of Jaden Gardner. And just, they said, this guy, they really couldn't make a comparison to anybody. They said his game's very unique, and yeah, he's a guy that is definitely one of the better post players in the country.
No doubt. And what's interesting is they have him. I was talking to a gentleman today. They have him listed. He said, is he 6'7"? I said, I swear to you, I'm 6'1". He's about, and Bubba, I know, I wish you were standing beside him, but I swear he's about 6'4". And maybe they've got him listed at 6'7", I know, but I just don't see him being 6'7".
Yeah, he's definitely, I don't think he's 6'7", for sure, but he's definitely taller than 6'4". That's what I was standing pretty much right beside him after the Charlotte game. My nephew was getting a picture with him, but I'd say he's probably closer to 6'6", something like that. You can generally expect the roster heights to be inflated about an inch or so.
Yeah, that's nothing new. They've been doing that for probably a decade. I mean, a century or more. As far as overall, I was really impressed once again with I thought the freshman played well. Baruti, he seems to be getting more comfortable. What did you think about him yesterday?
Yeah, but we certainly would like to see more scoring production out of Batumba for sure. He did have that bucket there a little over 7 minutes or so into the second half that gave us our only lead at 45-44.
and he certainly he did some nice things defensively. But as somebody else, I wanted to really emphasize how he came on yesterday. I say came on, reemerged, if you will. Brandon Suggs. Brandon Suggs was so consistent early on, but the last two games he had kind of disappeared. One of those against Charlotte, he only had 4 points. But he was playing in foul trouble for a lot of that game, if I'm not mistaken. And then he only played like 11, 12 minutes against EKU and only had 1 point, which is his season low, of course. So after only scoring 5 points in like 25 minutes in two games combined, he played 30 minutes yesterday and he had 9 first half points. What was held off the board in the second half, but he did a lot of good things, and it was nice to see that after you wondered if he was sick or if he had, maybe hit a little bit of a wall like freshmen sometimes do. But we're certainly going to need him moving forward, and it was nice to see him have more of a performance like what we had grown accustomed to seeing. I know he had I think it was there in the late in the first half, right when Wichita was making a run, he hit a big baseline jumper from about 15 feet, had a nice shot fake. And I think Robbie Hummel, the color analyst on ESPNU, said like the shot fake of the century or something, because he literally did everything but leave the floor. His pivot foot barely stayed in contact with the floor. And then
the fans wanted to walk, but that was an unbelievable move.
And then somebody else I wanted to really point out, his play. I talked about Tremont Robinson-White. Sure, he had too many turnovers, but we still saw flashes of what he can bring to the table. And he just needs to execute with more consistency, cut out some of those the silly passes up top, picking your dribble up and making ill-advised passes. But Tremont, he finished with 11 points. One of the plays that really stood out to me, or a couple plays that stood out regarding Tremont, one play where he took the ball to the basket when the shot clock was running down, and then also I'm trying to remember who had missed a shot, whether it was Jaden Gardner, but one of our bigs, I believe, had missed a shot on the interior, and so Tremont was at the left wing, and he came skying out of nowhere at 6-1 for tip-in. There for a second, I thought he was going to throw it down with a big jam, but that was a play that the announcers really raved over. And so you see the flashes, and so you certainly know that Joe Dooley, when he says that he's about 65 to 70% of what he can be, it's not sandbagging. He's not just saying that.
Right.
Buying Tremont, time or whatever, however you want to put it, but and Tremont, he's a guy that's just going to get better and better as he continues to get in basketball shape.
There's no question about it. He's got a lot of up potential, and we had, like we always talk about, there's been several factors there, and I think the team is finally starting to gel. When you have the most Tyree Jackson and Tremont Robinson-White, so you have two guys that are your backcourt, two of your best players, too, and when they're out, you've got 11 players. I think that, like I said, looking back, hopefully the Coppin State game will be the lowest point of the season. I hope there's nothing lower than that. And now you have a situation where you start off conference play extremely competitive. I mean, there was a play in the second half there, a possession, where we ran down and shot the ball way too close, too fast, and we didn't get a good possession out of that. And It's little things like that that's the difference in winning and losing the game. We talk about all the time, which yesterday kept us in the game because they missed a whole bunch of free throws, Bubba.
Yeah, they did. That's a nice segue, or that's something I was going to touch on as far as the way the Shockers struggled at the line, and that left the door open for the Pirates to potentially pull off the upset. We talked about how East Carolina took better care of the basketball in the second half. Unfortunately, the times we did turn it over were there late, where you just could ill afford to. So I know one time, I think it was just over a minute 20 to go, we had the opportunity to cut it to one or maybe even tie with a three. And so I think it may have even been out of a timeout. We didn't even get a shot and turn the ball over. And then, like you said, Wichita State struggled to put it away. They went one out of two on three consecutive trips to the charity stripe, And then James Gardner scored and got fouled, and the free throw would have pulled it back within one possession at 73-70, but he was unable to convert, and obviously went on to the six-point loss, 75-69. But something else that in addition to those turnovers that really plagued us there late in the game and not getting good shots, far too many second chance opportunities for Wichita State. It really didn't stand out in the numbers in terms of second chance points, and then also the offensive rebounds, because they had like two more, maybe three more offensive rebounds than us. Yes, but the reason some of that was hidden because they ended up going to the free throw line. Dave, as you look at the free throw numbers yesterday, Wichita State shot significantly more than the Pirates. They were 16 out of 29 from the free throw line, and ECU was just 7 of 9. So that was a season low, 9 attempts for the Pirates, and the previous low was 13 at Navy. And in 12 out of our 14 games, we have shot at least 18 free throws. So yesterday was disappointing in that regard. And some of that...
Yeah, I really felt like overall that... We were talking about Cincinnati and Tulsa, two games we felt like we would in that USF game, we didn't play very well in football. My hope is that we can build from Wichita this game, and that you'll see that for all the people that are – I know they're frustrated in Pirate Nation. I get it. But I think that the actual when Joe Dooley, when people say rebuild, he said this is not a rebuild, this is a build. As far as the culture for basketball, I think it's going to be a lot. I'm not saying it's easier for Coach Houston, but as far as the culture standpoint, it is easier because they've actually had a situation where this is a situation with the Pirates in basketball. I mean, Bubba, you and I have talked about it. I'm make no secret about it. If you're a huge basketball fan and you're a graduate of East Carolina, fan of East Carolina, whatever, it's been a long, long road. 2013 was one of my all-time, obviously, 93 and 2013 are two of the bright spots I've had since being a Pirate basketball fan since 1986. So it's very frustrating, I know, but when you look at Coach Dooley, I mean, I know you talked about this, Bubba. Going all the way back to Kyle, when I remember when we're going to have Steven Igo on for Hoist the Colors, but on Hoist the Colors and message boards, who are Dooley's assistants? People kept going on, and the man puts out a brilliant staff. Kyle said it way back when they first announced, if we can keep this team, the assistants together, then you bring in George Wright Easy, who's known, I know, for a lot of AAU circuit guys, but if you keep this team together, as far as assistants go and the coaching staff, that's my question. I was going to mention to you, Bubba, is the very fact is hopefully we can keep this team together as far as not having the epidemic we have in college basketball of a whole bunch of transfers. That's what I'm praying for, is that we can sell the foundation this year and year two under Dooley and staff. And, man, 2 or 3 years from now, the football team and basketball team, oh, my gosh. I told Alexander, my son, yesterday, I said, son, you actually are coming. It's nice about your age that you're starting. He's learning all the players now, he's starting naming players to me, and I'm impressed. He already knows the name. Daddy, who's number one? And I told him Jaden Gardner. He's just been going from there. But I told him it's a great time to be a Pirate, as now he's learning all the names of the players, and 2-3 years from now, football and basketball, we know how great Cliff Godwin and the baseball program is going, and a lot of the Olympic sports as well. But when you look at basketball in particular, I'm hoping that I'm right and that for people need to be patient and give this coaching staff 2 or 3 more years, and we'll reap the benefits of their hard work and labor.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And like you said, being an East Carolina basketball fan is certainly not for the faint of heart, for sure. Like Coach Dooley said, it's not a rebuild, it's a build. And that's what our moments of success have been, very few and far between. And so people just have to keep that in mind. I know it's frustrating when you're losing to teams that aren't known for quality basketball, whether it's Navy or Coppin State, App State, what have you. But if you really dive deeper into things, I mean, that Navy team that we lost to in what, the second game of the season, and they went into John Paul Jones Arena and took Virginia down to the wire the other day, defending national champions. And then App State's off to a heck of a start, and they gave NC State all they wanted on Sunday at PNC Arena. And they're like 8-5, 9-5 now. So people just have to be patient, as frustrating as that is, and get out to Williams Arena and make a difference. Don't wait on the change to happen, and don't wait till the Pirates start winning. And get out there and make the win start coming even sooner, because in those close ball games, a rocking atmosphere at Williams Arena Menchie's Coliseum will definitely be a difference maker.
Yeah, Bubba, I really agree with you that the Charlotte game you and I were at was a huge difference as far as the crowd. So people hopefully will get out there. You want to talk about stuff going on in the American?
Yeah, league play began on the 30th. So on Monday, there was only one ball game. Number 9, Memphis, and took down Tulane out at the FedEx Forum. Ron Hunter's done such a great job with the Green Wave. Green Wave are 8-5 now, and they gave the Tigers everything they wanted, but Penny and company were able to prevail, holding off Tulane down the stretch in the second half. That was Memphis's 10th straight win. I think they're 12-1 now, if I'm not mistaken. And so you have Memphis and Wichita State that are both 12-1, and I certainly would not be surprised to see the Shockers making a significant climb in the polls toward the top 15, and maybe eventually that top 10 over the coming weeks. And then, because really you look at it, that's what Wichita State, and they have some very good wins on the resume. South Carolina, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, VCU, just to name some of them. And then on New Year's Eve, you had Temple. They picked up a nice road win down at UCF. They trailed at halftime and then outscored the Knights by about 9 or 10 in the second half to pick up that one. And then other games that were played on New Year's Day, in addition to the Pirates, our next opponent, USF, they lost out in Dallas to SMU. SMU won that one 82-64. When you look at USF, it's a club that, I guess, Brian Gregory, I want to say he's in his third year now. Very much a similar situation to what Joe Dooley inherited in Greenville, in terms of year one, not a whole lot of success. Then they, although not 11 new players, I want to say they had at least 6 or 7, maybe 8 new pieces a year ago. And so I think that club with USF a year ago went on to play in the CBI Championship Series, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's a program that's really improved. Like I mentioned earlier, yes, they're 7-7, but they've had a very challenging schedule, near losses, or near misses, I meant to say, against the likes of Utah State and also Florida State. And they're led by LaQuincy Rideau. Rideau's a very physical guard, and he's a guy that has scored in double figures in 12 out of their 14 ball games, and he led them with 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists against SMU. And so those are the next two opponents for the Pirates, that being USF and then SMU. Like you mentioned earlier, the Mustangs are 10-2 as of right now.
No doubt about it, Bubba. I know it's going to be a great time again, folks. 1-800-ECU. Get your tickets or ecupirates.com, or you can just do what we call walk-up. Great deals and promotions always going on. In fact, Kyle's still losing sleep over not getting that snow globe a couple weeks ago in the Charlotte game. So no doubt. Hey, Bubba, I know we've got a lot of stuff coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So we'll be catching up with Steve and Igo outside of the program. If you're going to catch up with someone to talk about the Pirates, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone better than Steven, because he follows the big three sports at East Carolina inside and out. Is pretty much at all the press conferences, all the practices, providing coverage, and then of course the games. So Steven does an excellent job. Looking forward to catching up with him, and you'll hear from him in the next couple of days. You also hear from the likes of Bob Ryan. Bob Ryan, if you watch ESPN like we do, and you've seen the sports reporters over the years, and although I'm not so sure that he's on there anymore, I know there's a podcast called The Sports Reporters, and he's still very much plugged in to what's going on, and I believe he stepped down at the Boston Globe probably about 6 or 7 years ago now. But he's seen it all, whether it's Final Fours, Super Bowls, Olympics, you name it, Bob Ryan has seen it. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking to him. And then we'll be catching up with a variety of Pirate players from the past, both in men's basketball and football. We'll talk to Stanley Bryant. We'll also talk to former Pirate basketballer Curly Young, who was on that 1993 team, the last team to go to the NCAA tournament. And we'll catch up with Akeem Richmond, who hit the shot and propelled the Pirates to that 2013 CIT title out at Weber State. And then we'll also talk to B.J. Tyson, one of the best players in East Carolina history, not only for the last decade, but just over the course of the program. You can give us a follow on social media and follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook, where we are approaching 1,000 likes and follows, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can listen to our show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found: Anchor, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, Google Play Music, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, you name it, you can probably find us there. Dave, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode of Overtime. For Dave Richmond, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been listening to Overtime on the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to Overtime on the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as we talk East Carolina Pirate basketball. Remember, you can listen to our show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, such as Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, iHeartRadio, and many more. Follow us on social media at TheSportsOBJ on Twitter, at TheSportsObjective on Instagram. Like and follow us on Facebook as we approach 1,000 likes and follows, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate you listening to The Sports Objective Podcast. Go Pirates!